The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to America's Web Radio. Today, we're going to continue our discussion and in-depth commentary, analysis, and presentation of the policies of the Democratic candidate for president, Kamala Harris. This week, we've seen coming through the television set, the images, the presentation. What we don't see is any real policy issues. And what I want to focus on today is the idea that Kamala Harris has policies. While she hasn't talked to the press, while she hasn't had any conferences or sit-downs with any media, we know her policies because she has stated them in the past. You don't start with a clean slate going forward and say, well, I don't believe in anything I've said in the past, but now here's my position. That's what the politicians do to just go with the current winds that are going on. No, we know what she has said and what she has done. And we know as vice president, there's very few duties that you're actually assigned under the Constitution. But the president can assign you certain tasks to carry out. So what I want to focus on today are three issues: peace, prosperity, and safety. That is what this election is all about, from my opinion. Now, I know that most of the listeners to this radio station, this podcast, are probably fairly conservative, and I would guess that a vast majority are Trump supporters. So I don't know how many people listening to Kamala in her own words about what her policies are, how many minds will be changed if they're intent on voting for Kamala Harris anyway. But what I do want to do is make a presentation so that those listening today who are Trump supporters, who recognize the vacuousness of Kamala Harris, that she is a political animal who has not taken any significant roles in any form or level of government that she has been in to make any real difference. She's the most liberal senator. She was enormously liberal as a DA in California, and many of the policies that are ruining San Francisco and California are a direct result of the work that she did there. So she's been an abject failure every place she's gone. But I want to focus not so much on her or on her race or her gender or any kind of criticisms of her as an individual. I want to talk about policy so that people listening to this can reinforce their vote, their desire to get out and help others get out and vote for President Trump, because this ticket of Harris and Walz is an absolute disaster as bringing in a socialist government in sheep's clothing that is clear what's going on. I want to have you understand that in her own words as we move forward with this presentation today. So I think I want to focus on peace, prosperity, and safety as the main issues that any voter out there should be thinking about. So I want to start off with the last one. I'll start off with safety. Are we safe in our communities? And if we're not, why are we not safe in our communities? And so I want to talk about Kamala Harris's policies relative to the border and relative to police protection and the safety of people living in very dangerous communities that have been sanctuary communities, been sanctuary states, defund the police, Black Lives Matter supporters, all those sorts of issues I want to focus on during this presentation. So I want to start with what many of you have heard before. It's her interview with CBS Media and Lester Holt. It kind of sets the tone for what everything else follows. She's not changed her mind. But let's start with the border and her attitude and opinion and lies about the border. Now, when she lies so easily and frequently, deceptive lies of saying, I've been to the border, when she knows she hasn't. Lester Holt caught her in that lie and caught her also in the very poor job that she was doing and has been avoiding taking responsibility for since she has become the Democratic nominee. So let's listen to Lester Holt and Kamala Harris in her own words on the border.
Americans don't see a lot of that on a daily basis. What they do see at their own border, children being lowered over fences, children coming in with, you know, phone numbers stenciled on their hand.
Yeah.
And so the question has come up, and you heard it here, and you'll hear it again, I'm sure. It's why not visit the border? Why not see what Americans are seeing in this crisis?
Well, we are going to the border. We have to deal with what's happening at the border. There's no question about that. That's not a debatable point. But we have to understand that there's a reason people are arriving at our border and ask what is that reason and then identify the problem so we can fix it.
Just quickly put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
She says she doesn't understand the purpose of the question because they're asking about she hadn't been to the border, but she also hadn't been to Europe. Well, that shows two things. One, how absolutely stupid she is that she doesn't get the connection of what's going on. Everybody listening to that, every American listening to that presentation before and now understands that he's trying to draw a parallel. And she says, well, I haven't been to Europe. Well, that also shows how inexperienced she is in foreign policy. She's never been to Europe. She ultimately went to Europe and met with a number of leaders. But her basic underlying experience about the border and Europe is just from sitting in Washington, D.C. and trying to figure out the solutions when we know the solution is to stop people coming across the border. There are 7 billion people in the world. And 99% of them would find the United States a better place to live with our economic system and our rights that we have in our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And she doesn't get that. You cannot solve the problem by letting 7 billion people just come into our country because we have a better lifestyle. We won't have a country if we are overwhelmed and run over by those people. Now, let's go to another issue of the difference between the Biden administration and the Trump administration on the border and her absolutely ridiculous comments. Keep in mind, when a politician says they want a comprehensive solution, it means they really want no solution, because a comprehensive solution will have so many aspects to it that nobody will really want to vote for it. There'll be an objection to almost anything in there that will kill the bill. In particular, this one gets to what she really wants, and that's amnesty for citizenship. So the people that she's inviting in from across the entire world would wind up voting Democrat because we're going to be giving them health care, education, housing, all these things free that we don't even give our own citizens. And yet that's what they want to do in order to stay in power. They'll do anything to stay in power. So be careful as you listen to this as to what they're really saying and why Kamala is the most fakey politician we've ever seen run for president.
What is different between President Biden shutting down the border versus Donald Trump shutting down the border?
So let's start with this. Our immigration system is broken, and it has been for a long time. The first bill that we offered right after we took office, right after inauguration, was a proposal to create a pathway for citizenship. The Republicans in Congress have not taken it up in any meaningful way because they want to run on the concept of a broken system instead of participating in fixing it. They want to run on the problem instead of fixing the problem. We have been proposing solutions that include proposing that $14 billion be given to what we need to do to have more judges, to have a stronger process, to determine eligibility for people staying here and for citizenship ultimately. And so the problem is that we've got people who call themselves leaders who are playing political games with this issue.
Well, she certainly identified herself looking in the mirror that she is the one that's playing games with this. Notice that she's talking about $14 billion for new judges, and that's in order to grant people immediate asylum into the United States and get them transported around the country. She's talking about more money for the system efficiency. Well, the system efficiency is only because we're letting so many people in. There's a classic example I want you all to keep in mind that happens over and over again with politicians who are so fake and so dishonest like Kamala Harris. Think of people who were falling over a cliff because and there are people down the bottom that are gathering them up, putting them in ambulances, taking them to the hospital, taking care of people. But nobody thinks about actually building a fence at the top of the cliff to keep people from falling over. That's the image that you ought to have in mind as to how we ought to be dealing with the border, not taking care of people after they fall off the cliff and giving them all the free care and medicine and housing and cars and debit cards and all those things that we don't give our own people. We ought to be building a wall at the top of the cliff to prevent the people from falling off. That's what's really happening in this country, and the best image you can have to kind of explain to others the ridiculousness of what we're trying to do at the border. So let's hear another take from Kamala on the border. Again, one that many of you are very familiar with, but many where we have forgotten how dismissive she was of the border agents. So let's listen to this next segment.
I've been very clear about the images that you and I both saw of those law enforcement officials on horses. I was outraged by it. It was horrible and deeply troubling. There's been now an investigation that is being conducted, which I fully support, and there needs to be consequence and accountability. Human beings should not be treated that way, and as we all know, it also evoked images of some of the worst moments of our history where that kind of behavior has been used against the indigenous people of our country, has been used against African Americans during times of slavery.
Well, we also know from her own words that this is not a new idea of just letting the country be overrun by immigrants and giving them everything they want, and including, again, the idea of pathway to citizenship for people who come here illegally, not expanding legal immigration to get to citizenship, but letting the 7 billion people in this world in to our country. She did it in California, and I want you to hear her words from back when she was DA in California and encouraging the illegal migration into California. And we can see today the destruction of California. People are leaving. She also supported the no bail. She supported the bill of people can just walk in and steal $950 or less and there's no prosecution. California is a basket case. So if you want the country to become like California is today, I guess Kamala Harris is your candidate. If you want to avoid that in your own community, you want to have a safe community where you can live in peace and quiet and not have your tax dollars being wasted on people who shouldn't be here anyway. If you want to have your daughter, your son, safe from being shot by illegal immigrants, either robbing or raping people, then you need to be voting for Donald Trump. And let's listen to her words as DA in California.
We must have the courage to stand up for our immigrants, including 12 million people living and working in the shadows with a genuine pathway to citizenship. We must have the courage to say California is a state of immigrants. One of two Californians was born outside of the United States or has a parent that was born outside of the United States, myself included. And that's what makes California great.
No, Kamala, that has what is what has ruined California, and then you left the state, and now you're trying to ruin the entire country with that same California idiot mentality of socialism and open borders. That was your job. You failed. You don't get a promotion for that. Let's take a quick break, and I want to come back and hear more of Kamala in her own words.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio, where we are analyzing Kamala Harris with her own words. She won't speak to outside press. She won't have what they call a gaggle, where she just sits down informally but answers questions. She won't have a press conference. So we've got to take her at her word of what she has said in the past. That is her position. She doesn't get to run for president of the United States with 3 or 4 months to go and say any of the positions I held in the past, which may have been controversial, where she didn't get a single vote in the primary when she ran for president before. All of a sudden, she can change all that and do whatever she wants, and she doesn't have to take responsibility for President Biden's bad policies, even if she was responsible and put in charge of certain aspects of that. She can just say, oh, that was his policies, now I have my own. No, you don't get to fool the American people like that by just being silent. Yes, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And that's what they're trying to do, run out the clock. Nobody knows what she is. She's a new face. She's not Donald Trump, and so people want to vote for her, but they have no clue as to how dangerous she is. So I want to go back to this idea of safety, because it is so important. What happens at the border creates a safety or an unsafe situation throughout the United States because of the poor job, not only poor job, but the absolutely horrendous job she has done to try to destroy this country by letting 7 billion people have access to our southern border. And those countries that are sending people over are coming out of their prisons, they're coming out of their criminal gangs that are coming up because they see easy pickings in the United States. They can come here and get free everything while they're planning their networks, while they're taking control of central cities for drugs and alcohol and sex trafficking, all those things that are going on. And she doesn't give a damn. But American people out there, we got to wake up and realize what, in fact, is happening in this country and what is being foisted upon us under the guise of somebody who's just so sweet and wonderful and is not Donald Trump. Well, we need Donald Trump because he has already fixed this. We know what he will do. He doesn't destroy the country. He gave us peace and prosperity and safety when he was president 4 years ago. And we need to get back to that. Kamala Harris represents the exact opposite of all those things that we hold near and dear in this country. So I want to go back and I want you to understand where she stands on safety issues relative to the border. And then we'll talk about safety issues relative to your own hometown.
Clarify this for me, though, because I do find it confusing. Yes. I believe if someone crosses over the border, it's illegally, it is illegal, and you would decriminalize it.
I would not make it a crime punishable by jail. It should be a civil enforcement issue, but not a criminal enforcement issue.
Okay, so Kamala wants to make crossing the border more like a traffic ticket for going 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. But that's not really what she wants. Let's listen to this next segment, where we have detention centers at the border that are holding people that are clearly criminals, have some criminal record in the country that are coming from, people we have actually been able to check. Although we can't check many, we are able to check some, and we have a criminal record. We put them in detention centers. So what would she do with these detention centers and the known criminals that we have coming in this country that we don't want to be dispersed throughout our neighborhoods?
All these detention facilities, the private prisons, the private detention facilities, they all need to be shut down. They all need to be shut down.
Are you kidding me? We have a candidate for president of the United States who wants to let known criminals, the because they come from other countries, and we're preventing them from coming into our country and raping and stealing and pillaging our own country. She wants to let them go, shut down those facilities. Come on. This can't be a serious candidate. As I said, she is totally vacuous. She is clueless as to the realities of the world. She's living in San Francisco world that she destroyed, and she wants to bring that to the United States. We cannot let her do this. Anybody listening to this, if you're not convinced that she is a danger to this country, then I am sorry. You're just not willing to listen. You're on the Democratic team, part of the Democratic machine, and it's almost as if anybody they put up, you'll vote for, regardless of how dangerous they are to this country. Surely we can get through 4 years in your mind who hate Donald Trump. We know we can get through four more years of that. And then you could have and try Gavin Newsom, who would have to go through a primary process instead of someone being anointed, someone being crowned like Kamala Harris without any real vetting or understanding of who she is by anybody across this country, because she has not gone through any sort of democratic process for her nomination. She was just pushed into there as an alternative when Joe Biden failed. So let's continue to listen to some of the really dangerous aspects of what she found when she was in some area. It wasn't at the border, but she was some area where these detainees were being there. And notice she'll talk about children. Now, the children coming are separated out because they're coming over as sex slave partners to adults that are bringing them over. And that's how they pay their way in the United States. They will bring in children, little girls, little boys, put them in the sex slavery, and that helps the cartels get the money that they might otherwise have to charge an adult for coming in. Maybe they charge in addition to that, but these are not children of the adults that they are connected to when they come across the border, so they have to be separated for their own safety. But she doesn't see that. She just wants to make a stupid political point and make an observation and make an assumption that is totally and completely false. But I want you to listen to her own words as she demagogues this issue, and it is infuriating that somebody can be that stupid or that intent on having power that they would distort and use the dangerous nature of what's happening to these children as they come across the border for her own benefit.
And let me tell you what I saw. So they wouldn't let us in. So then we got a ladder, climbed up the ladder, looked over the fence. But let me tell you guys what I saw. So there were two lines of kids, girls and boys, lined up in single file, walking into barracks. They were treating these children like prisoners, as though they committed some crime. This is what's happening. And this is this is the United States government doing this. And immediately on day one, when elected, I will end it.
So she blames the United States for protecting these children, and she couches it in terms that we are punishing these children as criminals because we're taking them to some safe housing and we're taking them to areas of safety away from the coyotes that brought them here, away from their adult, non-parent, non-related adult that brought them to the United States for sex slavery or worse. So let's listen to what her underlying theory and philosophy is about crimes and border policy.
As a prosecutor, I can tell you it is a serious mistake to conflate criminal justice policy with immigration policy as if they are the same thing. They are not. I have personally prosecuted everything from low-level offenses to homicides. I know what a crime looks like. And I will tell you, an undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
So in this segment, as we continue to talk about the safety of our community and our country, and we now know that she has no interest in the safety of our country by letting these people in, even those we identify as criminals, we're letting them go without any punishment, penalty. If we incarcerate them at the border, we need to leave them go, get rid of what they call the detention centers. If we're saving children at the border by separating them from the gangs that are bringing them over to sell them into sex trade, that's bad. So what are we going to do about the safety of our communities now? Are we going to just let these people go? And we're now going to, what's your position on defunding the police? I think many people listening to this know what you've done there and know the outrageous nature of your issue. But let's hear Kamala in her own words.
Where do you stand on defund the police?
Right. So here's the thing. Defund the police. The issue behind it is that we need to reimagine how we are creating safety. And when you have many cities that have one third of their entire city budget focused on policing, we know that is not the smart way and the best way or the right way to achieve safety. For too long, the status quo thinking has been you get more safety by putting more cops on the street. Well, that's wrong.
Now, the next segment, I want you to understand completely what she is saying and what she is not saying, what she's hiding from the general public. We know now that George Soros and his open border society has been funding these radical district attorneys across the country that are letting criminals out. So even illegal immigrants that are coming in that are raping and killing people are finding ways not to be prosecuted in the major cities of the United States. So what is her solution for the criminals that are getting caught in these local areas? Is she about the kind of DAs that George Soros has been funding? Let's listen in her own words.
I believe we need to look locally and elect progressive prosecutors. Because the vast majority of prosecutions occur at the state and local level.
So let's understand the clear picture that Kamala, in her own words, is telling us. We don't want to stop people from across the border. If we catch them and they are criminals in their own country, we don't want to detain them. We're giving them nationally free passage anywhere in the country, either by bus or train or plane even. We're flying them in from other countries by plane, by the hundreds of thousands that many people don't really understand or appreciate how dangerous that is. So once they're here, she wants to have progressive DAs. That means people who will not prosecute them at the local level for new crimes that they commit. So we're not going to prosecute them at the border. We're not going to prosecute them if they have children going into sex slavery. We're not going to prosecute them if they go to cities because DA is going to let them go. So let's hear again in her own words, with this chaos that she's creating, like Black Lives Matters, like Antifa, like the people that we've seen, the anti-Israel crowd that has been on campuses creating all sorts of havoc and crimes. What's she going to do? What's her opinion about those problems that she has created by never having a stopping point for criminal activity? What is her feeling and attitude towards those types of individuals and organizations and groups, which she won't even identify as being terrorist-type groups and terrorist-type activities against the citizens of the United States?
But they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's they're not. This is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. It is going to. They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not, and we should not.
Can you believe what you just heard? And they should not, from a presidential candidate of the United States of America. Now, she may try to back off of things that she said in the past, but she really can't. That's who she is. We now know she's been exposed in her own words. I want to continue with this analysis of Kamala in her own words, because the next area I want to go to is prosperity. We had that under Donald Trump. What is Kamala's idea of prosperity in this country? Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these commercial words.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you. If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. Today, what we want to focus on is prosperity in this segment. We've already talked for a couple of past segments of this program on safety and how if Kamala Harris has not been able to make our country safe by having open borders, as George Soros, the most liberal socialist political figure almost, if you will, in this country, has been funding all the political figures, the DAs at the local level and supporting open borders at the national level. If Kamala Harris can't go against that kind of socialism slash Marxism at the border, what we know as well now with her own words is that she's for progressive DAs that minimize the criminal activities that are going on, releasing people, no bail. She actually started a fund after the Minnesota riots that were going on to actually free people from jail that or get out of jail as soon as they were arrested. And they never got rearrested. They never got prosecuted for all of the crimes and the burnings and the shootings and the lootings that went on in Minnesota. That's her mentality as a DA that she likes to promote. She's tough on crime. Well, we know she's not. So we have the safety issue down. And what I've been focusing on this entire hour is the idea of peace, prosperity, and safety. Where do we stand with Kamala Harris? And let's contrast that with Donald Trump. We know on the safety side that we had safer streets, we had a safer border, we had people more secure in their homes, we didn't have migrant crimes that are running rampant in this country as we have today. We also know that our streets are safe, our borders are safe, and even internationally that there was greater safety. We didn't have any wars going on. We were getting out of a war with Donald Trump, the war that lasted 15, 16 years in Afghanistan. And we had no new wars started. And now under the Kamala Harris, Biden administration, we have two major wars going on in the world where we're acting as proxies. A lot of controversy about which side we're supposed to be on in the Middle East. The Democrats seem to want to be on the side of the terrorists and Hamas. The anti-Israel part of the Democratic Party seems to be taking hold. We know that in the Trump era, we had no international wars going on, and we are now, and most people really don't get this because you don't hear it in the national media, we are on the brink of a World War III, of a nuclear war coming out, whether it's tactical nuclear wars or bigger nuclear bombs. If Iran gets a nuclear bomb, and now they're talking about they would have the ability to have a nuclear bomb by the end of 2024, that would be perfect for Iran, and they will go after Israel, and there's no question in anybody's mind who follows anything in the Middle East and the hatred of getting rid of and annihilating Israel that they would use atomic weapons if they could have it on Israel. So let's turn to prosperity. I want to see what Kamala Harris's economic policies would be in her own words. How has she reacted? How has she commented on the disastrous economic policies of the Biden administration? So let's first go to her comments with her own words on the economic policies of the Biden administration.
President Biden and I came into office with a plan to strengthen America's economy. It's a term we're very proud of, I must tell you, because Bidenomics is working. It's working.
So from the same person that lied for 3 years about Joe Biden's mental capacity, the same person who has lied about so many issues on what Donald Trump did and didn't do while he was in office, talked about him being an existential threat to democracy when, in fact, it's been the Democrats that have not followed any democratic process and even getting Kamala Harris the nomination for president from the Democratic side without getting a single vote. She thinks Bidenomics actually worked. She said that multiple times over the 3 years. And we know as individuals, we know as people who go to the grocery store, we know as people who actually fill up our cars with gas, that Bidenomics is not working, that it is just a terrible period of time where the worst impacts of inflation hit the most vulnerable among us. We know that people who have lots of money, have a good living, can tolerate an extra dollar or two, whether it's on gas or on bread or whatever it is, but it's the people who are living on fixed incomes, the elderly, the young people, the poor who are trying to get started in life to achieve the American dream. Those are the ones that are hit the most, and those are the ones that have typically voted Democrat, and I don't understand why they would. They know what the impact has been of Kamala Harris, and so I want to continue with Kamala in her own words about her economic policies and what she said. Now, notice that she just gives platitudes. She doesn't give real solutions to the economic problems. But let's listen to this next interchange.
What can you do about these high prices? How long is it going to take?
Well, first of all, it's real and it's rough. Groceries, the cost of groceries has gone up. The cost of gas has gone up. And it, as this is all happening in the context of 2 years of a pandemic, it's one of the highest priorities actually for the president and for me. And so we're dealing with this issue in a number of ways. Short term, one of the issues is the supply chain. We're seeing a bottleneck and we need to relieve that bottleneck.
Notice how, as a classic politician that is deceptive, she defers this and says, well, it's because of the pandemic that we went through. But she was given a great economy. It was booming. We had inflation at 1.4%. It wasn't until they passed these enormous government spending bills that they called Inflation Reduction Act. Well, how ridiculous. It was an inflation increasing act that happened. It was going out and just pumped more money into a society without any real benefit. They gave it to a lot of their cronies, a lot of the nonprofits that were wasting money. There was nothing going into infrastructure. There was nothing going into really building up our economy. So let's hear how she says, again, in her own words, how disastrous the policies have been without providing any real solutions.
Let's also understand that we've got to have economic policy in this country that understands that right now it's not working for working people. Right now in America, in 99% of the counties in America, if you are a minimum wage worker working full time, you cannot afford market rate for a one bedroom apartment. That is absolutely unconscionable. And so we've got to correct.
So understand her level of economics. Somebody who's working at minimum wage ought to be able to afford their own lifestyle, an apartment, a house, a car, whatever. Well, those are starter jobs. Those are things like teenagers get to get ahead. People who have had problems with their own choices in life may be starting over again. But nobody works at minimum wage forever. That is a starting area. And if you're doing any kind of a job, you're worried about your own future, you actually will get ahead. You'll go to manager, supervisor, you'll advance, whatever. You go to another job that pays you more where you have some skills. But certainly we don't want to make in this country the person with the least amount of skills, the least amount of initiative to get ahead, the least amount of education, the least amount of training, the least amount of skills as our benchmark as to what should be able to achieve the American dream. No, this country is based on meritocracy, and we're going to help people who can't get ahead for whatever reasons, but not just anybody working at minimum wage who doesn't want to get ahead, doesn't want to put in the hard work of actually advancing their career or developing skills. So let's continue to listen to what her economic policies would involve because she's changed her mind so much. Let's listen to how she has changed.
Well, actually, the nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator. You supported the Green New Deal. You supported Medicare for all. You've supported legalizing marijuana. Joe Biden doesn't support those things. So are you going to bring the policies, those progressive policies that you supported as senator, into a Biden administration?
What I will do, and I promise you this, and this is what Joe wants me to do, this was part of our deal. I will always share with him my lived experience as it relates to any issue,
that we confront. And I promised Joe that I will give him that perspective and always be honest with him.
Well, folks, she's showing her hand right here. She's basically saying that, yes, she is the most liberal senator ever. And now that she's vice president under Biden, while Biden may be very liberal and doing crazy things through the Biden administration with inflation and border problems and international wars going on, she's even more liberal. But she will tell him that in private, and he hasn't gone quite as far left as she would go if she was in charge. Well, guess what, folks? She's about to become in charge if she is voted into office. So she'll be the most extreme, the most liberal, the most progressive, the most socialist president the United States has ever seen. She's doing that by her own admission. Now let's listen to another exchange.
Was it wrong to consider inflation transitory? I mean, these price spikes seem like they're going to be with us for a while.
We have to address the fact that we got to deal with the fact that folks are paying for gas, paying for groceries, and are need solutions to it. So let's talk about that. Short-term solution includes what we need to do around the supply chain, right? So we went to the ports of Los Angeles, Long Beach, Savannah, Georgia, and said, hey, guys, no more 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, 24-7. Let's move the products because people need their product. They need what they need. We're dealing with it in terms of the long term, and that's about what we need to do to pass Build Back Better. It strengthens our economy.
Okay, great solution. Just tell people they got to work 24-7. To be able to solve the problems that were created in Washington. What a joke this lady is. She understands nothing about economics or supply chain. Now let's listen to her response to a Hispanic lady asking about whether they can trust Kamala Harris's economic policies.
How can you assure Hispanic voters that they should trust and believe in the economic Biden-Harris plan for a second term?
So I'll start by saying that we still have work to do to bring down prices. But the work we have done has been historic in terms of strengthening the economy.
Of course, Donald Trump says that a large part of our problem with inflation and the doldrums that are in our economy because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris shut down the Keystone Pipeline and have been anti-energy their entire administration for 3.5 years. And we are reaping the dangers and the problems from that all around. So he starts off with drill, baby, drill. Let's get energy prices down. Let's sell to the rest of the world. Let's make money off of the sale of our natural resources of clean fossil fuel energies. But listen to what Kamala Harris's solution is for those people would work in high-paying jobs, even union jobs that they canceled with the Keystone Pipeline. What is her answer for people working in that industry that is so critical to the strength and future of the United States?
What is the solution for voters who have jobs and interests in the fossil fuel industry?
Well, for the workers in that industry, we have to, one, we have to encourage that those industries do better in terms of giving the workers an ability to transition into the jobs of the future, such as renewable energy.
Okay, there you have it in Kamala's own words, how we have prosperity in this country. We make people work 24-7 when there's any sort of problems within supply chain, and we have organizations, industries convert people from the skills that they have into skills of a different industry. In the past, she said, well, just make them all into coders, as if everybody has that skill or that's where you want to go. That's the mindset of a dictatorship of a controlling socialist slash communist slash Marxist mentality. That's what she has. And by God, people listening to this, if you don't understand that, if your friends don't understand it, you need to learn it real quick. Now, let's take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and learn about Kamala again in her own words on things like peace in the world.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you.
If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2 only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to America's Web Radio. Today we want to finish up with a segment that has Kamala speaking in her own words about peace in the world and how they have handled the crises that have come up so far, so that we could then have a better understanding of maybe how she would respond to the current crises in Ukraine and in the Middle East and new crises that may come up, whether it's in the Indo-Pacific area or any place else in the world. How have they responded? How have they talked to the American people? Have they told the truth about what they were going to do? And if they tried to do something, did it work? Do we know how to deter our enemies? How do we encourage our allies? How to work together in alliances to actually accomplish something around peace and tranquility in the world? We know that in the Donald Trump presidency that we had no new wars started, that we had strength, peace through strength. We were as strong as a company, a country, people in other countries. Our adversaries knew that Donald Trump, if you went against him, he would strike back hard. That was our policy. That was the understanding. But let's see how it works under a Harris administration, when she was part of the Biden-Harris administration, and she says she was the last one in the room every time on major decisions. So she is totally and completely interlocked with the decisions of the Biden administration on foreign policy. She cannot get away from that. She was so proud and presented herself as being basically a co-president. In fact, many of you know, sometimes she actually slipped with a slip of the tongue, she talked about the Harris-Biden administration. Well, we also know that one of the very worst things that they did early on as far as international peace is around Afghanistan. Let's listen to what Kamala Harris said the administration was going to do and how important it was to do Afghanistan right, when we know ultimately it was one of the biggest debacles in the entire history of the United States military, of removing the armed services before they got out civilians. They gave up Bagram Air Force Base. They gave up $85 billion worth of trucks and weapons and armaments in every which way, shape, and form. So that Afghanistan's now one of the largest seller of military weapons in the world, and they're selling our stuff. So let's hear what she had to say about Afghanistan.
Hold on. Slow down, everybody. I want to talk about two things. First, Afghanistan. We couldn't have a higher priority right now. And in particular, our priority is making sure that we safely evacuate American citizens, Afghans who worked with us, Afghans at risk, including women and children. And that is one of our highest, if not the highest priority right now.
Okay, so on the failure of the Afghanistan withdrawal, she kind of laughs off, and some would say she cackles at people asking the question as if it's funny. And then she says, oh, it's our first priority to get people out appropriately. And then they totally and completely failed on that. So you can't believe when they say, yeah, it's my number one priority, we're going to get to do that. Well, now let's change parts of the world and see what kind of response she gives to Ukraine when that war was going on and there were a lot of refugees that were coming out. And she had a meeting with the leader of the refugee program in Ukraine. And she's asked about in a press conference, what about setting up a refugee camp? How are they going to handle the refugees from Ukraine? And see how she similarly cackles at the whole idea and gives no response and makes some superfluous comment about neighbors will be neighbors to the Ukrainian without giving any commitment or answer to the actual question. This is what we're going to have to expect if she becomes president of the United States.
And I'm wondering what the United States is going to do more specifically to set up a permanent infrastructure. And relatedly, is the United States willing to make a specific allocation for Ukrainian refugees? And for President Duda, I wanted to know if you think and if you asked the United States to specifically accept more refugees.
Okay. A friend in need is a friend indeed. Okay,
okay, so this time.
So here we have our potential president-to-be laughing, cackling with foreign leaders about serious issues of refugee and redevelopment. Let's hear what she has to say and how important it is to deal with Ukraine and the sanctions she's going to put on Russia. And we know that that hasn't worked. The war's been going on for well over two and a half years now. And the sanctions that they put on and the relief that they've actually gave versus what Trump put in has allowed the Soviet Union to make hundreds of billions of dollars because of the increase in oil prices. And they've been able to sell that to China and to other countries around the world that actually allows them to fund the war in Ukraine. But here's what she said. The sanctions were supposed to do, and we know that they completely and totally failed. Let's listen to the potential president of the United States threatening Europe, threatening Russia with sanctions.
But if Putin has made up his mind, do you feel that this threat that has been looming is really going to deter him?
Absolutely. We strongly believe. And remember also that the sanctions are a product not only of our perspective as the United States, but a shared perspective among our allies. And the allied relationship is such that we have agreed that the deterrence effect of these sanctions is still a meaningful one, especially because, remember also, we still sincerely hope that there is a diplomatic path out of this moment. And within the context then of the fact that that window is still opening, although it is absolutely narrowing, but within the context of a diplomatic path still being open, the deterrence effect, we believe, has merit.
Kamala Harris and deterrence. Has it really deterred the Soviet Union from further war with Ukraine? Absolutely not. Now, I don't understand why the people in the United States don't understand. You can't talk your way out of wars like this. You can't be nice to the other side. You have to have peace through strength, and we have failed to do that. Now, let's see what she says in terms of the strength of their diplomacy when it comes to places like the Middle East. What have they told Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis? What have they said to them to deter them from more aggression against Israel? Let's listen to Kamala in her own words.
As President Biden said, just don't.
Exactly. One word. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I'm sure that the mullahs in Iran are really worried about Biden or Harris saying, just don't. I mean, get a break. What kind of a world war are we on the edge of when we have leaders that think that they can control somebody with a single word, or don't have any strength, our military is declining, and yet they think that they can negotiate their way through with words like just don't? Well, let's listen to what this administration, what Kamala Harris has told the American people about the threat of Iran, the potential threat of nuclear war with Iran should they get the weapon, the further expansion of war in the Middle East from the Islamic terrorists. What does she tell the American people? Just don't even use those words. Is that the way she's going to try to control the expectations and the problems until the war gets even worse under her watch? Let's listen to what she says about the use of words to describe what and who our enemy really are.
You have the courage
to object when they use that term, radical Islamic terrorism, which ignores how Muslims have overwhelmingly been the greatest victims of terror. Also have the courage to reject that term, illegal alien. I have seen some of the worst of criminal behavior. I have seen the worst of crime. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
Okay, let's take this one step further. In her own words, how does she describe what's going on in the Middle East, and who's responsible for what? Is there equal responsibility on both the Israeli side and the Palestinian side? Does anybody really believe that if Israel stopped today that the Palestinians wouldn't continue to attack, wouldn't regroup and continue to attack and say Israel has no right to survive, as opposed to if the Hamas put down their weapons and said the war is over, we respect Israel's right to exist, then there might actually be peace. Keep in mind, people who talk about a two-state solution don't recognize that the Palestinians have never wanted a two-state solution because they don't want the second state of Israel to even exist. So they're never going to agree to a two-state solution. But listen to what the crazy San Francisco liberal progressive Kamala Harris thinks can actually be done by recognizing that these people are humans on both sides, even though one side is intent on destroying the other side and saying they have no right to exist. So let's listen to her in her own words.
What I hope is that we can engage in conversation and discourse in a way that understands this is not binary and that appreciates that we are talking about real human beings. We're talking about real fear. Not to mention what it means in our own country in terms of long-standing issues with anti-Semitism, which has been on the rise and even before this happened, Islamophobia and other forms of hate against people just simply based on who they are or how they pray.
Let's wrap up this hour with some stunning words from Kamala Harris on the insight of what she thinks about some of her own voters. You know, a lot of the young people think, okay, we got a new generation of Democrats, and they get so excited about it that they want to vote for Kamala, not because of any of her policies. She's throwing out this hope and joy campaign. But what does she really think about young people who are joining her campaign? Are they useful idiots, or how would she describe them?
What's the other thing we know about this population? And it's a specific phase of life. Remember, age is more than a chronological fact. What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That is why we put them in dormitories. And they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
And I can only hope that more young people will hear her description of them. She's calling her own group deplorables, not Republican young people, not MAGAs, not anything else. She's talking about young people in general from 18 to 21 that are being put in dormitories because they're so stupid they need adult help. But how in the world can she expect them to vote for her? Well, she is a radical. They don't know that. They don't understand it. But let's listen to Kamala talk about her own radicalism. Is she radical or is she not?
Well, I know that I read that at the Republican convention, he called me a radical. So I guess that's one difference between us. And yeah, I am radical. I do believe that we need to get radical about what we are doing and take it seriously.
Well, there you have it, audience. In her own words, she's radical. She thinks young people are stupid. She thinks you can negotiate with people like the Ayatollah and Putin and give them money, and they're going to be your best friends. This is the foreign policy that has failed and put us on the edge of World War III, nuclear war, that we are not talking about. The media is covering that potential up as much as they covered up Biden's age and disability and mental acuity failures over the past year. Please, wake up, America. Wake up, voters out there. We've got to defeat this socialist, Marxist agenda and team of Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Join us next week. We'll give you more information on politics in the United States.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.